Wild and crazy.
Wild and crazy.
Wild and crazy.
Things on her list when kids are grandmas and grandpas.
Yep. Hey, welcome to another episode of The Matt and Fiona Show. Thank you so much for joining us. We are incredibly happy that you are here. As always, please go like, subscribe, share, follow, all of those things on our YouTube page, on our Facebook page, on our Instagram page, Spotify, Apple Podcasts, wherever you get your podcasts.
Yes.
We should be. Yes. So go like and share, subscribe and all that jazz, because it really helps get more traction. But also, it helps us kind of know where people are tuning in,
right?
Which helps us better allocate resources to those sources. Today, we are going to jump right into an interesting topic, I think.
I think, yes.
That is apropos for the start of April, because we're going into a new season.
Oh, we are.
Look what I did there.
I see what you did there. Mm-hmm.
So today we are going to talk about strengths, and weaknesses, and a couple things in that vein. One of the first things I wanted to touch on with this before we jump too deep, unless you wanted to start.
No.
Did you want to start?
You go right ahead.
Are you sure?
Wow. You have something to say. You go. I'm sure I will add my 10 cents in later.
10 cents, I see.
Yes, I know. I always have more than two. Yep.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. Inflation. Sorry. Go ahead. Didn't mean to interrupt.
That's about on par. Going up four times. Yeah. Canada. Hashtag. You know, I find that a lot of people view not so much their strengths, but their weaknesses in a very interesting manner, right? A lot of people, you know, there's the old adage of, you know, turn your weakness into a strength.
Mm-hmm.
And while that occasionally can happen, most often you're not in a place to turn that strength, or sorry, that weakness into an actual strength.
Right.
You can strengthen your weakness.
Yes.
Right? You can improve that weakness and make it not as troubling.
Detrimental.
Detrimental. That's a great term.
Mm-hmm.
But very rarely can someone turn their weakness into a strength. So like a great example of that would be one of the big weaknesses that almost everyone has is public speaking. Right?
Okay.
They're not good at public speaking.
Right.
So you can practice that and you're still going to be not very good at public speaking.
Right.
Right. It takes there's a finite number of people.
Right.
The list of great orators is incredibly small. Right. The great public speakers, the ones who can captivate you.
Mm-hmm.
It's minute.
Right.
That is not really a trainable skill. You can train and be better at it. You can take media training. You can do all these things.
Right.
And get better at it.
Mm-hmm.
But you're not going to be likely great at it. It's not going to become the thing you put at the top of your CV, the top of your resume.
Right.
That I am a great public speaker.
Right.
Right. I did interviews in the AV world for years.
Mm-hmm.
And you knew the people who were great public speakers.
Okay.
And you knew the ones who were trying really hard. But it was a weakness for them that they were trying to turn into
a strength. Working.
And they were
strengthening.
They were strengthening it so that they were not terrible.
Mm-hmm.
And there was a handful of people, and I'm not going to name names in case any of them listen to this, because there's a few who do from that world. You could see them get better.
Right.
You know, show after show, year after year, if they were in that position, they would, you know, you could see them working to improve that. And you can do that.
Mm-hmm.
But it is very, very challenging.
Right.
Right? if you have a significant weakness, you can work on it. Mm-hmm. And I think the key when you're looking at your strengths and your weaknesses is that you have to learn to recognize what they are.
Well, I was just going to say that one of the things that I was thinking as you were speaking was, I find that so many people,
like a great public speaker,
don't,
or a trained skill, because that's what it is.
Trained skill. There you go. But I feel as though there are many people who do not even know what their weaknesses are.
Right.
And that is probably a bigger problem than the weakness oftentimes itself.
Well, completely.
Right? Because that weakness hinders them. It can get them in trouble. It holds them back. Even when they don't realize they're being held back, and it prevents them from, thank you.
You're welcome.
It prevents them from, you know, creating or getting to their potential in so many levels.
Yep.
People don't want to focus on their weaknesses. And we're not saying focus on your weakness, but if you can figure out what your weakness is.
Or their strength is focusing on their weakness.
Oh yeah, I guess there's that too. Huh. Well.
No comment.
Yep.
No examples. Move on.
Moving on. They get the point. No, but oftentimes people don't recognize some of their weaknesses, and it takes hold of them almost. And I think recognizing where your weaknesses are and being able to not allow those weaknesses to affect you negatively.
Right.
Is a big start. Mm-hmm. Because, you know, again, that whole cliche, you know, turn your weaknesses into strengths. That may not necessarily happen, but you can become stronger overall by working and recognizing where your weaknesses lie so that they do not affect your other areas.
Yeah.
Right.
A lot of that is just learning about yourself.
Yes.
And doing if you want a good example, ask your spouse. Ask your friends.
Right.
Right. A close friend. Right. But go and ask your spouse what your five biggest weaknesses are.
Or.
I was not offering for you to participate in this.
I was going to say, or if you really see what your pastor has to say about what your weaknesses are.
Oh, yeah. That's a good one too.
Yeah. Okay. Continue.
But it's very important to recognize what that is. Right.
Yes.
Like, I've started a couple of businesses in my life, and having been down that entrepreneurial
path
for, you know, almost 20 years now, over 20 years, there are so many things I wish I realized earlier.
Yes. Right. Oh, right.
And don't things we always? That I realized that I was not good at. And
if we knew now what we knew back then.
That's a great Rod song.
Sure.
It is. Okay. Rod Stewart, that's the name. Okay. Very weird, obscure reference for me at least.
Okay. Yes.
Wow. It's probably the only one I know by him.
Okay, carry
Anyways,
on.
Anyways, there's a well-known phrase in the business world, right? Of the first hires you make, which again, I wish I learned this back then, but the first hires you make are the skills that you lack.
Oh.
Right? So whatever you're trying to build, whatever company you're trying to build, you as the founder, as the CEO, as, you know, the person running it or the part of the team that's running it, you figure out those skills that you have and all the other ones that you don't have that you're not good at,
you hire out. Right.
And you hire those out as fast as possible. And, you know, in the small business world, the number one thing that always comes up in every conversation is if you are starting a business, the first person you hire is your accountant or your bookkeeper.
Oof,
because no one typically who's a business person is good at accounting.
Right.
Is good at bookkeeping. Myself included.
Right.
It is, can I do it? Can others do it? Sure. Mm-hmm. But do you spend more time do you waste more time?
Right.
Do you flutter around, again, wasting more time on it?
Getting frustrated,
getting annoyed, mm-hmm. spending way too much time doing that when you should be building the business.
Right.
And hiring someone to do that for you.
Right.
Right. It's something that I've never met an entrepreneur who learned that early.
Right.
They always learned it after the first,
right.
you know, 5 years and making all those mistakes.
Yeah.
And then you learn it. And then subsequently, when you start the next business, mm-hmm. you do it properly.
Right.
Right. Because you figured out what your weaknesses are.
Yes.
And in life, in marriage, in your Christian walk, whatever, it's the same.
Well, I was going to say, almost in every different area of your life, mm-hmm. your weaknesses may be different throughout it.
Yep.
So like if we look at our marriage, mm-hmm. right? And again, when we first got married, it's different than...
I didn't make a joke.
Nope, you didn't. You just thought it, but you kept it there.
I thought a couple.
Yeah. But in your marriage, when you first get married, mm-hmm. you know, A, you've got your weaknesses in that area. You're yeah. also learning the other person's weaknesses.
Right.
And you've got to learn to work together. But then as a parent, you then realize, oh, wait, there's these certain areas that I have weaknesses in mm-hmm. that you've got to work in. As an employee, in almost every area yeah. of your life, now, in every area of your life, you also have your strengths
right.
too.
Yeah.
But they're going to vary mm-hmm. In different areas of your life. What? So like for me, mm-hmm. when it comes, like, because I do a lot of the accounting at church and I'll do yeah. some stuff for you, I enjoy it. For some—
Oh yeah, you're great at it.
For somehow, some way, I have patience for it.
Yeah.
Patience in that avenue is not a weakness for me because I find it captivating and intriguing.
That's exactly how I feel.
Yes.
It's like a puzzle.
This being said, I also have a math degree and I loved my three-page math problems to figure out the final solution. I found captivating. Anyway, but for whatever reasons, I have patience in that area, mm-hmm. but I found out that when it came to children and the noise level and everything like that, patience is a virtue. I didn't necessarily have, and that was a weakness.
Well, and again, that's a great example, right? Of learning how to manage those things.
Yes.
Right. So for me, and again, when you talk about, you know, the noise of children, right? Mm-hmm. We can even take it back to pre-children.
Yes.
Right. So one of your quote unquote, it could be a strength or a weakness. It really doesn't matter. But what are the little idiosyncrasies mm-hmm. for you is you like to work in quiet.
Quiet.
Right?
I need to focus. Yes.
If it's quiet, mm-hmm. that's a strength for you. Mm-hmm. For me, that's a weakness.
Yes.
Because I can't work if it's quiet.
I know. You need background noise and stuff going all the time.
And multiple things in my head.
Yeah.
At any given time to be able to concentrate.
Yeah.
Which is... for you would be a massive weakness.
I can't do it. I wish I could. I can't.
Again, we've recognized that. We know that.
We work together through it.
So when you were doing your master's degree, mm-hmm. I would leave.
Yes.
So that you could study in quiet.
And focus.
Right? And mm-hmm. I'd go to work and go yeah. work at the office. Now when I'm working in my office in the house,
yes,
I close the door. It's reasonably soundproofed. Mm-hmm. And I turn up the music and I wear headphones and I do all the things so I can concentrate without distracting you.
Right.
Right? It's one of those things where we all have strengths, we all have weaknesses. And again, you can let a weakness overtake you.
Right.
Right? And stumble and you can let it run wild. Mm-hmm. You can do the same with a strength. Right?
Yes.
If you have a huge personality, mm-hmm. right? And you will talk to everyone and you can talk to everyone. Mm-hmm. You can let that run wild and just be glad handing everyone in a room, even at times when you shouldn't be.
Right.
Right? There are all of these things that, like, I'm going to say this is a strength. I don't know if it is, but I don't really care.
Okay, go for it. I'll let you know.
I'm very good at making a joke at literally any situation.
Truth.
Good, bad, indifferent, truth. Sensitive, doesn't matter. Mm-hmm. I can find a way to at least make myself laugh.
Truth.
A lot of people find that overbearing.
Right.
At times.
Right.
Right. In certain situations.
Right.
Because there can be a, we'll just say a sensitive situation to kind of cover a variety of things without giving any examples.
Right.
And I can find a way to make a joke about it. Mm. Around it, in reference to it, it doesn't matter. I can.
Yes, you can.
That's just something I do.
Truth.
And again, if I don't manage that and control it, like the time to not tell a joke is at a funeral. That's typically bad. Typically. Sometimes you can get away with it. Sometimes it lightens the mood.
I was going to say sometimes it's a little lighthearted.
But depending on who you're around.
Yes.
That may not be the
right
inopportune and maybe an inopportune time. So again, in most cases, that's a strength. I can make people laugh.
Right.
Or at least I can make myself laugh.
You make me laugh, babe.
Most of the time, that's great. Mm-hmm. But again, if I let that just run wild and I just make jokes literally all the time.
Which you could do.
Sometimes I do.
Yes.
And again, it annoys a lot of people sometimes, right? So it's all about harnessing that.
Yeah.
Strength, harnessing that weakness. Again, controlling them. Working as much as you can to find the middle ground.
Yeah.
Right? Now, the flip side of it is in your Christian walk, same thing. Mm. You're going to have strengths. You're going to have weaknesses. The thing to be aware of is that God knows your strengths and he knows your weaknesses.
And right? So does the enemy.
So where that comes into play
in
your daily life is you can add it into your prayer life, right?
Yeah.
For God to help you with those weaknesses. If you're someone who feels insecure, if you're someone who deals with anxiety, if you're someone who deals with, you know, self-worth, all of these things, right?
Yes.
God knows you're dealing with that. So you can, when you're, you know, in study, when you're in prayer, you can ask him to help you with that, help strengthen that, help you find scriptures.
Yes.
For a confession for those things.
Absolutely.
The flip side that people don't like to talk about is, as you said, the enemy knows those things too.
Yes, he does. And he's not going to attack you with your strengths. He's going to get at your weaknesses. And that's where he's going to find or try to find an open door.
Yeah. And because that's already potentially a weakness for you.
Mm-hmm.
So if you're somebody who wants to be accepted.
Yep.
Right? Are you accepted at your church? I would hope so.
Right.
You know, I don't know where you go to church in this mythical person that we're making up.
Right.
But if you deal with anxiety, if you deal with, you know, whatever it is, right? There's going to be an opportunity there.
Absolutely.
And an open door for the enemy to, you know, try to pull you away from God.
You know, and this is just a very simple illustration because it happens time and time and time again. People are always looking for, and I mean, and especially once you get into your 20s, 30s, and so on and so forth, you have people who are looking for spouses. And you have the ability to wait for the spouse that God has chosen for you. Or if you are impatient or anxious about it, and the enemy knows it, he can use that as an opportunity to bring that wrong person into your life. I mean, and even with friends, right? I think that's why it's so important. We need to be so discerning.
Oh, we've seen and again, I only say this because I've been in church, I've been in leadership for years. The number of people that we've seen who have been praying to God for a spouse.
Yes.
For a significant other, however you want to phrase it. Right? The number who have found someone and have been pulled out And not just like from the church.
Right.
But who very quickly were pulled out from going to church.
Yep.
Ours are a different one. It doesn't matter.
It doesn't matter. Yeah. This is, yep.
But who very quickly fell away from God.
Yeah.
Very rarely have I seen someone who, you know, met someone and all of a sudden, because they've been praying for it.
Yeah, right? It is a desire of their heart. And, you know, God gives us the desires of our heart.
And all of a sudden, this person walks into their life and they're friendly and they're nice and they're all the things or some of the things that they've been praying for. So all of a sudden, because typically there's some other weaknesses that are involved here.
Yep.
Right?
Yes.
And you have this person walk in and it's, oh my gosh, I'm in love. And then you're missing a couple services.
Yep.
And then you're missing a lot of services. And then you're not going to church anymore. Then you're not reading your Bible. Then you're doing whatever.
So here's the thing. Here's the thing.
We really got to get merch.
Here's the thing. Here is the thing. All right.
What's the thing, Fiona?
Here's the thing.
Tell me more.
If church is important to you, if you truly believe that you are called to your church and that you are to be submitted to your pastor and that your pastor is the man of God in your life and that you actually have a calling, plan, and purpose that was set in front of you, and this is something that really matters deeply to you, then any, whether it be a significant other, whether it be a simply a friend, if they truly care about you, they will understand and respect how much it means to you. So if there is a person that winds up seemingly being an answered prayer, but yet in the long run pulls you away from God, that is a good indication that that person was not from God. And the thing about it is so often, you know, the enemy knows. I mean, he's been doing this for thousands of years.
Yeah.
And he's done it time and time again. He has the same tricks. Mm-hmm. And I could say this because, like, this is not just one person.
Yeah.
This is not just three people. This happens regularly, time and time and time again. And like my brain is just kind of going through all the people that I've seen this happen to.
There's even, and I'm going to give an example of mine.
Go ahead.
That is not even as serious as this.
Right.
Right. So a couple of years ago, I don't know, I had a guy that was working for me. He was a great worker.
Right.
Right? Mm-hmm. He was older, second career. His wife had a job.
Yep.
A really good job. He was staying home with the kids.
Yep.
When the kids got to an age where, and they had moved, so he had left his corporate gig when they moved into town. And again, really nice guy.
Yep.
I got along with him really, really well.
Yep.
He was a great employee. He worked well. He was smart. Like all the things you'd want.
Yes.
He was personal.
He was trainable. He was teachable.
Personal with all our clients. Absolutely. All of these things. And I had really found that, you know, not that he and I were becoming close, but like it was one of those people who, yes, we brought him on to work, but we started to become friends.
Right.
Like casual friends. Yes. Friends nonetheless.
Yeah.
And, you know, when you're in the industry that I'm in, AV and construction, right? Not only do you spend potentially lots of time in the car.
Right.
Because you're driving to different jobs, you're working out of town, all of these things. But you're also on a job site where you just talk a lot.
Yes.
And you talk about a wide variety of things. And the more I got to know him, again, he was still the same great guy. He was still polite. He was still trainable. He was still teachable. He was still somebody that I enjoyed spending time with.
Right.
He was not
pleasant to be around.
Very much so. But man, he was so anti-church.
Yeah.
Which again, initially I didn't realize. And it's not on, am I a Christian that runs a company? Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Do I have like a spiritual aspect to our job applications? No.
Right.
Do we work in churches a lot? Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Do we have a spiritual aspect to the job? No.
Right.
It's work.
Yeah.
Right. So I didn't ask him if he goes to church. I didn't ask him his view on, you know, the deity or, you know, is Jesus the Son of God? Like, none of that stuff ever came up.
Right.
Until, you know, 6 months, 8 months into him working for us.
Mm-hmm.
And with us, whatever, however you want to phrase it. And we had started to, again, become friends. We weren't really hanging out much outside of work.
Right.
But
you spend that much time with somebody, you build a friendship.
And, you know, throughout the course of a couple of conversations and working in a couple of different churches,
mm-hmm.
right, it came up how anti-God he was.
Right.
And how he didn't understand how I, as he would say, as a, you know, reasonably smart guy, how do you believe in God?
Hmm.
You are smarter than this. You should know better. You should, all of these things.
Right.
And, you know, it got to the point where it was like, okay, you can't, you know, respect me enough to know
right
how I stand in that I don't need to have these conversations. I will debate you till the cows come home, but you're right. Not changing my mind and I'm likely not changing yours.
Right.
Right. And it got to the point we didn't fire him. He ended up just leaving.
Right.
Because again, they ended up moving.
Yes.
But it was one of those things where you realize very quickly that, you know, was he an answer to our prayers from a business standpoint of a good employee?
Right.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
But long-term, was that a sustainable, you know, even business relationship?
Right.
I don't know.
Right.
Because again, you know, a portion of our business is house of worship.
Right.
And I can't bring somebody in who is, I can't bring someone into a church who's just working in the church, installing stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Who is adamantly being negative towards that industry.
Or disrespectful.
Quote unquote.
Right. I mean, right? He was never disrespectful by any way, shape, or form.
Not at all. But it's one of those things where you realize pretty quickly that, you know, having you working for us is great.
Mm-hmm.
But like, we're probably not going to have you over for a barbecue and have the kids together.
Right.
Because that just didn't, it didn't.
No, I'm just going to throw something out there.
Go ahead.
So in that situation, because that is a great situation mm-hmm. that a lot of people encounter because a lot of people are in the workplace mm-hmm. and, you know, their faith, their belief happens to come up. One thing that I've always admired about you is you believe, I mean, obviously you
admire me.
Oh. You believe what you believe.
Right.
You are not going to cower to somebody who's going to challenge you on whether or not God is real. You hold your stance no matter where mm-hmm. you are.
Yep.
No matter, you don't change who you are to fit people. That becomes a very, we've seen that time and time again, where that becomes a weakness, whether mm-hmm. it's in a work situation, whether, you know, you're traveling, whatnot, but people don't know how to stand their ground with what they believe.
Right.
And they have a weakness in honestly standing up for God.
Mm-hmm.
And in this situation, you know, there would be people who would, I'm offended, it's not the right word, but who would feel belittled or not know how to manage or handle yeah. their faith kind of being questioned.
Yeah.
And
your faith better be a strength, especially today.
Yes.
In today's world. And again, I'm not saying go out there and pick a fight because there's a lot of fights you can pick that'll get you in a lot of trouble.
You need to learn how to stand your ground and you need to have a certainty and a surety of who you are in Christ
mm-hmm.
and a certainty and a surety of who Christ is, because otherwise if your relationship alone with Christ becomes a weakness,
yeah.
then you've got bigger problems, because what's going to happen is the world is going to enter in. You're not going to, you know, the Bible says that if you are a friend of the world, you are an enemy of God. And if you can't stand your ground
mm-hmm.
and you can't put God first, you know, it also says that if you deny me before others, I'm going to deny you before the Father. So if you can't, if your faith, as you said, isn't a strength, then we've got a lot of bigger problems, and you need to find a way to work to make sure that your faith and your trust in God, your belief in God is that it is not just a strength, but it is strong.
Well, and I would argue that that is probably one of the only weaknesses that you can turn into a strength.
Right.
Right. You have the ability to do that. It's not that hard.
To build your faith, to build your walk, to strengthen your relationship with Jesus.
Yeah. Well, again, like go back to Sunday school style, right? Read the Bible, pray every day, learn the scriptures, because anybody who wants to challenge you on that, right? No matter what the setting is.
Yep.
It's not, I have a lot of things that I think, right? I have a lot of opinions. I am a highly opinionated person.
Truth.
Would you stop with that? I have a ton of opinions.
I love you.
Yes. But the majority of my opinions, especially ones that stem from...
Sorry.
It's okay.
It's gentle.
She didn't mean it.
It's gentle.
She didn't mean it. She hit the microphone, if you're listening, and I'm just making sure that the Shures weren't offended. If I look at my beliefs that I have, my opinions I have, the ones that are born out of the Bible, that are born out of my Christian walk, I've got the verses to back that up.
Yes.
Right? So if you want to ask me about whatever it is, and again, I might have to look it up. I may not know it off the top of my head,
right?
Per se, but
you know, I can, the heart of it,
I can find it,
and you know how to find it.
And it becomes one of those things where, and again, this is how you turn that weakness into a strength of, oh, you believe in that? You believe in healing? Yeah, I do. Here's why. Here's where it is.
And not only
it's not that I believe it that makes it real. It's the fact that the Bible says it.
Not that only makes that, it real. But we've had situations in our life where we've experienced.
Yeah.
So yes, we believe it. So yes, the Bible does say it, but we also have the testimony of what God's done in our life to back it up.
It's truth.
But it is truth.
See, I can do it too.
Yes, you can. But I think the biggest thing that we wanted you guys to get from this is we all have weaknesses. And we need to be aware of those weaknesses so that our weaknesses do not overtake us.
Yep.
And a lot of times we are unaware when we've allowed our weaknesses to affect and infiltrate the rest of our lives. But as you said, I think which was a huge point is our faith better be a strength, because that can override a lot of our weaknesses. And go to God with your weaknesses, because he can help you strengthen them so that they do not become detrimental to you.
Yeah. Yeah, that's great. So we are going to leave it there. Thank you so much for joining us. As always, and as we say at the end of all of them, you know, like, share, subscribe, all that jazz. But hopefully come back next week. Join us for another great episode of The Matt and Fiona Show. Thanks for watching.
Bye.
I think I said thanks for coming, but I meant thanks for watching. Like, we're welcoming you into the living room, but notwithstanding, thanks for watching.
There you go.